This week, the world edged closer to the prophesied storm. Israel ignites the battlefield. Alliances tighten, and biblical prophecy unfolds in real time. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. And what do you mean you survived WW3, David? What's that about?
Well, you remember what happened last week. I think it was Tucker and Candace both said that, you know, if we bomb the Iranian nuclear sites, it would literally start World War III. And then this week, they're in peace talks. So I survived.
You did. Yeah, you did survive.
I did.
It. Yeah.
I'm going to go get a T-shirt now. If anyone wants one, just email me, thehiddenday@protonmail.com, and we'll get you a T-shirt of surviving World War III. I'll even put some scripture on there. What do you think?
What happened to Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson? What I mean, they fell off the reservation or something. What happened to them?
That's a good question. I wonder, and sometimes you wonder why people get so big all of a sudden. And then other people who are much better don't necessarily get that big. And you wonder who's funding them and be in the background.
Oh yeah,
It's just odd.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah, because they, you know, at first we thought they were the voice of reason coming out.
I enjoyed listening to both of them until they went,
and then they started nuts with this nonsense.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, not for nothing, but we got to go with the word of God.
Amen.
You
know? Yeah.
Amen. 100%. I don't care about any talking head.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hope they find salvation. I really do. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I hope they find salvation. Okay. David, you want to go ahead and pray us into the show, and then we'll show everybody what we're doing. Go ahead.
We thank you, Father, that we did survive World War III and that we're here to proclaim your word. We do on the other side pray that you come quickly, that the rapture is imminent, and that we would go home to go to the marriage supper with you and bring all these people with us. So we ask that the word will go forth and shine light in this dark world and lead people to your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. All right, kind of put these up here real quick from what where we think we're going today. We got the recent events there in Iran. What's it shaping up to be right now? Has anything changed in regard to the Gog and Magog war? I mean, now that Iran doesn't have the weapons they did, does that push it back? And when is the Gog Magog war expected to take place?
And then again, Thursday.
And then what do other Christian writings have to say about it? You know, we'll talk about that too. But before we even do any of that, we're going to do our week in review. Just to get things sort of out of the way here. So let's start out. Let's look at this one right here. And this is your World News Report with the Middle East and global tensions. The Israeli-Iran war ceasefire countdown. After nearly 2 weeks of intense warfare between Israel and Iran, a temporary ceasefire has taken hold. And it's temporary only because we know that eventually Iran's going to break it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. An unprecedented exchange marks the most direct confrontation between the two nations, Israel and Iran, in modern history. And although hostilities have paused, military readiness remains high on both sides. The prophetic implications are profound. Many see this as the strongest precursor yet to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38:39 and Isaiah 17. Where conflict erupts in and around Israel, involving a northern coalition of nations led by Persia, which is, of course, modern-day Iran. And then we can't forget about Gaza, famine, violence, and prophetic echoes there. The humanitarian collapse has worsened. No, it hasn't. They're getting a bunch of stuff in there. You know, the thing is that Hamas isn't stealing as much of it as they were before. So the aid convoys are unable to distribute food safely resulted in hundreds of deaths, and I don't believe any of that at all. I think they've got about 6 months of supply there. But what do you think of the fact that Iran is kind of neutered right now, for lack of a better term?
Let's be clear again, it's not the Iranian people, because they all hate their forced regime that they're in right now too. Mm-hmm. And they're all begging for someone to help this. Lots of celebrations going on over there actually now, because they can be Persians again, which, as we studied in a couple weeks back on our Bible study show, they were offsprings of Japheth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're technically white.
Yeah.
If you would. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and they had a good relationship all through it. You look at the book of Esther, it was Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus, which is actually Ahasuerus. something about being the head of something. There was always that. And then what we need to do is pray for those people, because there's actually the biggest revival in the world going on now. Amen. Is in the Iranian people.
Yeah.
The Lord coming to them in dreams, and they're super nice and super peaceful. And they're like, please help get rid of this. And they're not necessarily Muslims either. All the Iranian people, they're forced to be by these mullahs.
I wonder how many of them are actually practicing that, and how many just do it in order to stay alive.
Mm-hmm. They have to, or they'd kill them, and they don't know what to do.
Right.
Now, there are the brave few that say, well, go ahead and kill me then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then that's helping with other people.
That takes courage.
You know,
that takes a lot of courage.
The Book of Martyrs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes a lot of courage. Okay, look at this one, David. We're just following up here. As the West confronts growing instability in the Middle East, Russia and China continue to deepen their ties with Iran and other rogue nations. Western unity is faltering amid internal divisions, weak leadership, and rising apostasy from biblical truth. So you've got a global realignment toward a multipolar world. Many nations now openly oppose U.S. leadership. This fractioning of the global order fits closely with end times prophecy, where power shifts and false peace efforts give way to sudden destruction. I don't know. What do you think of that? Just that part, David, before we move on to what's going on in Europe. What do you think about this Russia-China coalition, I guess, coming together?
Yeah, it's all coming. Again, you know, we're seeing the same thing as we say often on here. It's all the principalities and powers. If you look at, you know, Psalm 82, the divine council, if you would, they were all given territories, okay? And Jesus is like, this is my territory, this is Jerusalem, and they're all trying to take his territory.
Yeah.
But they're all fighting for power amongst themselves. So you got evil world rulers all over, and you know, so some people think, oh, it's just, you know, it's evil, and then they're going to come against the good. No, it's evil against evil, too.
Yeah.
You see the same thing. It's the same story as before the flood. If you read the Book of Enoch, there were three different races of these giants, and they all started killing each other and eating each other. And then they ran out of that, so they started eating humans. And that's what God says, you know, got really, really bad. So we're just seeing the same thing. These powers are all fighting each other. You know, they're going to pretend to come together as a coalition, but as we see, the horns all separate and the heads all separate, and they start to fight each other in the Battle of Armageddon, Har-Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo. And then when they all get together to fight each other, that's when the Lord comes back, and then they all gang up on Jesus for a split second until he opens his mouth and the flaming sword comes out.
Gone.
Oh, hey, you want to know something fun?
What's
look
that?
This one up, everybody. Egyptians slapping protesters with shoes.
Oh yeah, that's a major insult in that
yeah.
world.
Yeah. They well, here's what happened. Soros actually sent a group of 100 protesters over to the Egyptian border to go and protest, like they protest here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, "Yeah, we're going to go over and protest, and it'll be good." So he paid all of them, and they think they're going to, you know, they thought they were going to go over and have the same result as America. People just going to, "Oh, okay." Mm-hmm. Now they beat the hell out of them, took all their stuff, and threw them out. They took their passports, took all their equipment, all their phones.
Good.
Beat them up. You see them all beating them with shoes, and then from the back you see all these shoes flying over the place. It's the funniest thing. It's like, get out of our country. Don't come to our border, and send them all
awesome.
Packing without their stuff.
That is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't understand
why we
don't.
See that on the news.
I don't get it. Why we don't have that same kind of attitude over here in the United States.
Well, you know, it's getting to that point. That was us in the Revolutionary War, and you know, it's going to get to that breaking point.
Yeah.
Where people are going to say, "Well, whatever. You know what? ICE and the National Guard's not going to stop you right now if you're beating up protesters." They're like, "Oh, look, ice cream."
Well, there was a sheriff, I believe it was a sheriff, in Florida somewhere that said, you know, if a protester jumped out in front of somebody's car, my advice to them is go ahead and just run them over. You know, and that was a sheriff, you know, just like, we're not playing your stupid games. You know,
the governor said it's your legal right to defend yourself. And he says, that's it. If they're blocking your car, you have every right to leave.
Yeah. Well, and then Pete Hegseth, he went off on them, you know, the other day. But then they came out. The first questioner said something about, well, you know, why don't you give credit to the females that were on that mission, because you know, there were females on that thing, and your only message to them was, way to go, boys. And he said, look, I don't care if they're men or women that are flying those things. They're flying them for the United States. They went over and they had a perfect mission, and that's what you guys need to focus on. Is this, you know, is a perfect mission. And to answer the rest of your question, I'm not going to play that game. And it was done. You know, it's just like, you asked me a stupid question. I gave you the answer I want to give you. Now that I'm going to go on to somebody else because you're stupid. You know, I just thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. Remember? He's like, we're no more transvestites. No more.
Right.
He says, we're done with that.
We're done.
Stuff. He lambasted CNN the other day, too.
Oh,
and he's a newscaster, so he knows.
Oh yeah, they're not holding back. Okay, you got the climate chaos is what they call it, natural distress, flash floods, deadly heat waves, abnormal storms, rise of surveillance and global control. Nations continue rolling out digital tracking, centralized banking systems, and AI-driven surveillance under the banner of security and efficiency. These trends reveal the infrastructure for what many believe will become the global control and system of the beast, as described in Revelation 13. I guess that's possible. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then let's see. Prophecy update, Ezekiel 38, 39, of course, the coalition forming around Iran, his allies, now testing open warfare with Israel. Isaiah 17, of course, Damascus is on the brink. That's the destruction of Damascus overnight, where it just can't even be a city. Then we get into Psalm 83, and I want to focus a little bit on that one just for a minute, David, because I know there's a lot of prophecy teachers out there that say Psalm 83's got to be a war. It's got to be a northern war. And I don't know. I'm finding it hard to believe that Iran is part of it, because it's not mentioned. I mean, there's a lot of stuff mentioned in Psalm 83, but they're not. So to me, that kind of, if maybe we already saw Psalm 83. Maybe that's what all this was. because, you know, they wanted to go in and make Israel where it didn't exist anymore, right? Is it possible that this is a Psalm 83 thing and that Iran is backing up for right now and, you know, they'll pop up later for Gog Magog? But what do you think about Psalm 83? Does it fit? Does it not fit? Is it future? Is it past? Is it here? What's going on with it, in your opinion?
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll go back to our standard adage, is prophecy is esoteric.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are those, you know, they're along the preterist thought that all these things happened already. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, you know, the Antichrist came in 70 AD or whatever. No. Because the devil's not locked up. Hello.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the millennium, the devil is bound in the abyss. So he's got a really long chain right now, I guess.
Uh-huh,
I
uh-huh. Yeah.
The Assyria's in there, but there's really no mention of Persia of any kind.
No, no.
Okay, so even, it no. wouldn't, I don't not think it would be that. In this. But did it happen already?
And
there's
what
a hybrid view that sometimes it goes along the whole way. You really can't tell until after it happens exactly, and that's what God specifically says.
Yeah, okay.
Because people will try to contrive it. So you have, number one, people will start to be date-setting.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then number two, they would contrive a war and say, oh, look, there it is. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's esoteric for a reason. Believe me, the very minute it happens, we will say, oh, that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just looking at, you know, at the fact that Iran is not involved.
Yeah. It's just, there's no mention of it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the reason why I find it difficult.
There's no one that even interprets it that way. No one that says, oh, it could be, you know, Grufunkistan.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no one that even suggests that Iran is there.
Yeah. Well, look at this. Okay, the past week does mark a turning point. I mean, because Iran is, you know, they're hurting right now. Israel stood on the brink of a multi-front war with prophetic dimensions. Global food, energy, and economic systems are under strain. False peace is being pursued through unstable ceasefires and failing diplomacy. Biblical prophecy continues to unfold visibly, urgently, and undeniably. Now more than ever, believers must watch, pray, and prepare, knowing that our redemption is drawing near. And I agree with that 100%. So what do you think about that, David? Do you?
So it's just writing everything
just
down.
Heating up.
Two things that I see that are epic right now.
Okay.
And we'll see if they actually pan out.
Okay.
Actually, three. One of them is the Abraham Alliance. Remember, it was the Abraham Accords. Now it's the Abraham Alliance.
Okay.
And you can go to abrahamshield.org, I think. It's all in Hebrew, so don't try and read it.
Yeah.
Unless you read Hebrew.
Never be able to read that.
But the short story is this. You see the picture, and it's got Trump and all the world leaders, and here's their deal. They're like, okay, yeah, we... Yeah. And then Trump does it all the time. He says, I don't want war. I don't want to see people die. So he's trying to make peace with everybody. But he's a tough guy about it. Peace through strength.
Right.
And now he's basically heading up this whole coalition. You see Israel there with all the Arab and Muslim leaders saying, hey, you know, let's be friends. Mm-hmm. And they're going to take, their plan was to take Gaza, and all the Arabs want the Palestinians out, okay, and Hamas out. They're like, we got to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to go in and take over Gaza. So now the idea is, okay, all you Muslim nations, you come in and you take care of that because it's your neighborhood. This way you still have that agreement of separating Gaza for a Muslim section. But now all these other countries are going to be in there, and they supposedly are going to create peace and kick all the Palestinians out and say, listen, here's your stuff. We'll move you, but you're leaving.
Mm.
And that's going to be an accord. So I'm curious to see if that's going to be a 7-year agreement, because, you know, Saudi Arabia is basically Sheba and Dudan, and then you see all the different nations that we do talk about often are involved in all this.
Right.
So if you look at the Abraham Alliance, you'll see that is remarkably similar to the treaty that's signed in Daniel chapter 9, that final week.
Okay, yeah. Well, we know that's getting close.
Yeah, so, but I want to, before I forget, in this second half, we see all these things happening, but you got to remember all the technologies that we're building. Technology in and of itself is not bad.
Right.
It's just a tool. But what a lot of people who live in fear will say is, this is the devil's going to use it for bad, so I'm just not going to use it. Well, you could say that because the devil has used people driving cars to run over other people. So I'm never going to drive a car again.
Yeah, or use a knife. You know,
Yeah, so people have used a kitchen knife to kill people, so I'm never going to use a kitchen knife again. Well, you need to use a kitchen knife. Yeah. These are just tools, folks, and they're not going to be implemented on behalf of the Antichrist until the midway point of this seven-year contract that we talked about. Right. It's going to be peaceful. It's going to be a land of unwalled villages, as it says in Ezekiel 38. And it's, is it 38? One of them. Or is it Zechariah? Anyway, it says unwalled villages. So there's going to be some kind of fake peace. And that's what we see in the white horse. The white horse of Revelation is this fake peace. Because here's a white horse, so he's pretending to be the Messiah. Right. And he comes with a bow, which is not a bow and arrow, folks. It's a bow of promise, like the rainbow was when God said he wouldn't judge the world. So this promise is like, oh, I'm, you know, we're not going to judge anything. Everyone's just going to live in peace until halfway through.
Yeah,
and then you'll see that Revelation 13, it all changes.
Yeah, which, you know, we haven't really ever gotten into it before, but the building of the temple, when it happens, you know, and I am leaning in the direction of the temple doesn't start to get built until after the rapture and after, you know, things are going on.
Yeah, I think it's all part of the agreement.
Yeah, I do.
That's going to be part of the agreement. They have everything they need. They can literally build it almost overnight because of they have it already.
Yeah.
So when that agreement is signed, it's like, hey, we want to build our temple. We need that as part of this agreement.
Yeah.
Boom. It's done.
And I think that's what will happen. I really do. Okay. Let's look at some stuff here in the United States. Supreme Court ruling here. Nationwide injunctions. The United States Supreme Court ruled on Friday that federal district judges no longer have the authority to issue nationwide injunctions, orders that block federal policies or laws across the entire country. This decision reshapes the power of lower courts and returns authority for national rulings to higher courts. So what the ruling means here is that district judges are now limited to ruling only for the parties involved in the case before them. They can no longer block federal policies nationwide unless the case is brought and decided at the appellate or Supreme Court level. And this ends the era where a single judge can unilaterally stop laws, executive orders, or regulations for the entire United States. Greatest ruling the Supreme Court has made in decades, in my opinion. What was his name? Bosberg, the federal judge there that somehow always won the lottery to get Trump cases.
Yeah, somehow.
I don't know how he did it, but he's the only judge that ever won one. But now he is irrelevant. You know, all of these things, all these rulings.
She called him a clown.
Yeah.
Like Amy Comey Barrett.
Yeah. Oh man, she put down this. Ooh, we'll talk. We'll talk about
that. You got that?
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the second half. I didn't include it, but please remind me to do that because that was that was a big one. But anyway, I am thrilled with this particular ruling because we as citizens elected our president, and we elected our president to do what he said he was going to do, and our president has done what he said he was going to do, and then you got one joker out of 300 and some odd million people that says, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, that one individual needs to get out of the way and let the rest of us have what we wanted. You know, he's not more important than everybody else. This federal judge you know, one federal judge to tell a country what they can and can't do? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally ridiculous. You know, he's just a low level, you know, he barely made it in federal judge kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
So they got stuff on him, and they threatened him and his family. And listen, we're going to pay you. And by the way, we know what you did, because they drug him and they put him in compromising positions with people they shouldn't be in compromising positions with. Let's just say that we're going to talk about child trafficking and rescue, by the way, in the second half. And then, you know, they threaten their families as well. So these people that, and you ask yourself, how could you be so retarded as to actually think that you, as his, you know, screwy little judge somewhere and off in Bumbleland, that you can stop the president from doing what he was elected to do.
It's right.
Just, it doesn't make any sense. Now, we understand this is all a corporation and corporate law, but yeah, that's operating within the corporate law. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, tell the owner of the company what he can and can't do.
Well,
you know, because you're a manager over the, you know, the garbage removal.
Well, David, I saw where, you know, this stuff with the district judges blocking stuff didn't start until the 1960s. You know, it's been there since the 1800s, but it didn't start until the 1960s. But then you look at all of the people, all the judges that, you know, put a stay on a presidential order or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Trump's got 100 and some of them, okay, in 4 years and 5 months. He's got over, you know, 100 and something of these things. And nobody else is longer. I mean, you know, a couple of them, I think, have double digits. You know, 10, 12, something like that. But I think there's some that don't even have double digits. But, you know, this it seems like it was all just for Trump. You know,
yeah, it's miraculous how the lottery always fell to those same judges.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that weird? I flipped the coin 100 times and 97 times it came on heads. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, this is. It's going to be a new era now, because I've got it on here later. It comes up where the this isn't automatic. In other words, these stays have not been overturned officially yet, but we're getting there, and they will be. We'll talk about that in the second half of the show. We still got a long way to go, and we've got to talk also about Iran. What is the future of Iran? And I think it's important that we know that, because they are mentioned in the Bible in the future prophetically. Stick with us. We'll be back right after a short break.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses. Every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, the Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, I'm gonna take right back where we left off.
Okay.
The Supreme Court ruling here, this nationwide injunction struck down. So what happens to the past and current injunctions then? Well, number one, they are not automatically overturned. Any past nationwide injunctions remain in place for now, but they must be reviewed under the new standard. Now, current cases will be challenged. Ongoing cases with nationwide injunctions will likely be reopened or appealed, and many of those orders will be narrowed or vacated. And the Supreme Court has upheld injunctions. The Supreme Court upheld injunctions, of course, stay in place. It's a higher court already ruled on the validity of a nationwide block. Those decisions still stand. So what they're saying there, David, is that all these injunctions that all these radical judges did, they're still there. But as I understand it, the administration's already started putting out the challenges. They're ready to knock them down one by one if necessary.
Yep.
What do you think?
It's funny, and Amy Comey Barrett, she really laid into them, too. She's like, let me see. Some of the stuff she said here was actually pretty funny. She's making fun of the guy. It says, federal courts do not exercise general oversight of the executive branch. It says that they resolve cases and controversies consistent with the authority Congress has given them. And when a court concludes that the executive branch has acted unlawfully, the answer is not for the court to exceed its power to. And so she's like, I would suggest that this judge read the law.
Right. Yeah, and she's talking about another Supreme Court justice. What was that?
Justice Jackson would do well to heed her own admonition. Everyone from the president down is bound by the law. That goes for judges, too.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I know there's a couple of federal or a couple of judges that are in trouble right now. You know, they're facing their own cases. Go ahead there, David. I'm sorry.
Right. And then ICE is on top of a lot of them, too. And,
Yeah.
I love to see that they don't care. Oh, is that what you think? Okay, good. In the meantime, we're going to lock you up.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to throw this one up here. This is just the end of it here. This, as far as a conservative Christian perspective here, is the ruling reins in judicial activism and restores constitutional order. For years, unelected judges used nationwide injunctions to block pro-life laws, religious liberty protections, border security measures, and conservative executive actions, often after just one liberal lawsuit. The decision defends the rule of law, limits federal overreach, and protects states' rights. So, to me, that's a great ruling by the Supreme Court, and I'll be honest with you, I was really worried they weren't going to go the other way on this. Now that it's over, I can say that. I was really worried.
That lunatic, Sotomayor, Mm-hmm. She commented, let me see here. She writes, the majority ignores entirely whether the president's executive order is constitutional, instead focusing only on a question of whether federal courts have the equitable authority to issue universal injunctions. Well, yeah, that's the question. Yet the order's patent unlawfulness reveals the gravity of the major majority's error and underscores why equity supports universal injunctions as appropriate remedies in this kind of case. What this clown, Sonia Sotomayor, is not seeing, she says, oh, it ignores whether the executive order is constitutional. That's not the judge. It's got nothing to do with the courts.
Right.
Okay. He's right. The executive, which means he's the head of the corporation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's his prerogative. If they don't like that, then it's not in the purview of the court. Their only purview is to, if someone brings a case, to evaluate whether it's, the constitutional and fits into there. But they can't just randomly come out and do this for upper level cases,
right?
And say, well, I'm in Utah, but I can make this nationwide.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You can't. It would have to be the Supreme Court because it is on the federal level. Mm-hmm. So she's just upset because she is under the opinion that she doesn't like his executive order and wants to do something about it when she actually has no jurisdiction.
Right.
The only one who can change the laws is the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's where she misses this. It's the law and that's what it is. And clearly he's got a lot of lawyers on there, mm-hmm. and they are looking very closely as to whether this is constitutional and law. She just doesn't like it. That's the whole thing.
Well, I think that's exactly what Trump did. Is he pulled in some of the best lawyers known to mankind and said, okay, come up with this. Here's what I want to do. Word it mm-hmm. in such a way that it's going to hold up. That's what I think happened.
That's exactly it. But she thinks if she doesn't like it, then they should have a right to say that it's not right. But mm-hmm. he's allowed to make a decision. Even if you don't like the decision.
Yeah, he's president.
Technically, he's allowed to make a decision even if he's wrong, and you'd have to go through Congress to get that decision changed.
Yeah, he's the president of the United States.
And they'd have to vote two-thirds majority.
Yeah, so. He's elected. He was elected. The Supreme Court justices were never elected. Yeah. They were appointed,
So. Yeah, so we got to get rid of that clown, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, now, let's turn our attention out to Iran, because this is really something that I'm curious about what's going to happen with Iran now. So anyway, from a Christian conservative and biblical prophecy standpoint, the role of Iran, biblically known as Persia, is already clearly defined in scripture, especially in relation to the Gog and Magog war prophesied in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So to assess where things now stand and what may be coming, let's look at this. Iran's role in biblical prophecy. Iran is explicitly named as a key ally of Gog in Ezekiel 38:5, Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them all with shields and helmets. Persia is modern-day Iran. It was renamed in 1935, so it's not that long ago, really. Cush, Sudan, Ethiopia, Put is Libya, North Africa. These mm-hmm. nations are part of a coalition led by Gog of the land of Magog, often associated with modern Russia against Israel. So Iran's participation in this war is prophesied as certain, regardless of who leads the country, whether it's a clerical regime, military junta, democratic reform. Iran's longstanding hatred of Israel and its alliances with Russia and anti-Western blocs align exactly with the biblical outline. And yeah, they do. I mean, it lines up perfectly with what's taught in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only place we really see Persia in any kind of prophecy.
Yeah. You may not know the answer to this question. It's one just popped in my mind. You know me. Persia. Mm-hmm. Why did they change the name from Persia to Iran if they waited until the 1900s to do it?
Why, well, they were divvying up the land, and World War One, I believe, they just needed to make it something. So it's okay. Iraq and Iran, which are technically both Persian, but they had different views, so they just kind of split them up. It's like Pakistan and India, but they're both Indians. But Pakistan was the Muslim branch, and then India was the Hindu branch.
Yeah.
So it's just they just made up the names, and they almost didn't call Israel Israel. They were going to call it Palestine.
Yeah.
And then a couple of, I think it was David Ben-Gurion came in and said, no, no, it's in the Bible. We got to call it Israel again. Mm. So that's what they did. So it just wound up there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and don't know all their ins and outs of why, but that's why.
Yeah, it's after a 2,000-year wait, too. That's unbelievable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so how recent events might be shaping these key developments here? We got the Iranian leadership instability. That's President Raisi's death and a possible power struggle. If you remember President Raisi, I think he's the one that flew into a mountain. I don't remember who's Iran's president now, but it seems like that particular one was killed in a helicopter crash. Mm-hmm. Anyway, accelerating nuclear ambitions, deepening ties with Russia and China, ongoing proxy wars via Hezbollah, the Houthis and others, public unrest and generational division within Iran. So it could possibly mean the destabilization may accelerate Iran's radicalization. I don't know about that one. A regime fearing collapse may double down militarily, especially against Israel. I'm not sold on that one either, not because of Israel, but because of the United States. You know, because Trump said he will go in again. Theocracy or democracy, from a biblical view, the nature of the Iranian government doesn't change the prophetic path. Even a Western-style Iranian government would not erase its ancient role in the Ezekiel Alliance. So I think it's important for people to understand there, David, that God wrote it, and Iran is going to be a part of it. So, you know, you can jump up and down and scream and do whatever you want to. Oh, no, you know, whenever this new guy comes in, you know, they'll be best friends with Israel and all that. No, that's not what the Bible says. We got to go with what the Bible says. So, you know, somebody may come in and say that they're going to play nice, but they won't, you know, if they're the true leader.
You got to remember Obama and all his cohorts, because he's the chief of the Muslim Brotherhood over here. That's why they installed him. And that's, you know, this USAID is all funneling money through there, and then they pretend part of it's with Soros. But again, it's those principalities and powers vying for it. Mm-hmm. And they somehow figured out how to funnel money, fiat or otherwise, into the hands. So the question becomes, are the people, clearly they're not, they're not going to rise up and actually take control and have that a nice government over there, because that's, this is what they want. They want the power, and there's oil over there and everything else. So all these people with all these billions of dollars on plaques, here, let me deliver plane loads of $100 bills for you. Mm-hmm. They're going to use that money, and they're going to buy weapons, and they're going to try and stay in power as much as they can, is why we see Iran here in the end times, because people, they don't make any sense to make their own money. People are funneling it over there.
Yeah,
because they're going to use Iran as their own proxies, like China and Russia and the Muslim Brotherhood and all these people. They want to use these folks, make them think they got power, and then tell them to go do all the dirty work while they sit back in their luxury.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what do you think is going to go on with Iran in the short term here?
In the short term, it looks like they're going to have peace. I mean, that's the first half of the tribulation period is peace.
Okay.
So, unwalled villages. We talk about that a lot.
Well, the reason I ask that question is because the supreme leader who hid for three or four days, you know, came out and said that Iran won. And, you know, Donald Trump, he just went, you know, I can't believe he said that. But
he should know that by now.
Yeah,
we told you he was going to say that weeks ago.
Do you
he's going to get destroyed he's got to have his arms and legs cut off and tell you, I got to fight for me.
I wonder if he's going to be like that, David, or if he's going to be meek and you know, people come in and explain to him, hey, you know, we're beat. We're just, you know, we don't have the weaponry.
There's no way.
Okay. So you think he's still going to be.
In their mindset, that's weakness, and you're not going to get into Shangri-La or wherever they go.
Yeah. So
if you show any sign of weakness, you're not getting your virgin. So you're better off just claiming victory until you die.
Yeah.
That's their mindset.
Okay. Well, let's look at this then. Iranian leadership instability. Okay, that's the same one. That's power struggle and all that. Yeah, we'll just go to this one. So has anything changed regarding the Gog and Magog war? In other words, did what happened with the United States and Israel going in there and pounding them, does that change anything in prophecy? No change in prophecy, but the timeline may be accelerating? I don't know. We'll talk about that in a second. While we can't assign a date, the alignment of the Ezekiel 38 coalition is forming rapidly. That I agree with. Russia is increasingly isolated and belligerent. Iran is increasingly militarized and aligned with Russia, China. I don't know if they're increasingly militarized anymore. Turkey is balancing NATO and the Islamic ties. In other words, Turkey is looking to get into BRICS. And as members of NATO, they can't do that. And yet Israel is increasingly surrounded and isolated diplomatically. The West, Tarshish and Young Lions, is increasingly divided and passive. These all fit the pre-war setup prophesied in Ezekiel. Do you agree with that, David, or do you take some exception with that? I mean, I know we can't assign a date. I understand that, but
well, did you ever have a baby?
Three of them.
You did?
No, not me, but yeah. Okay.
All right. Good.
Okay.
Because Jesus specifically said there'll be like birth pains, and it's throughout the Old Testament too. Mm-hmm. This is like birth pains. Like that when you figure out you're pregnant, okay, we got somewhere around 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Might be a little before. Might be a little after. But the signs are coming, you know, 3 months or so, what you start to get a little sick, blah, you know, and then the body starts to change. So everything's changed. We've seen that since Israel became a nation, you know, they actually became a stumbling stone. Everyone's all upset that Israel became a nation. Mm-hmm. All right. So much so that Hitler tried to kill them all.
Yeah.
Okay. So you see that first stages of vomiting, and then all through that, on and on and on. Then the next stage is, you know, 67 when they took over Jerusalem. So we got the entering into the outer courts, the inner courts. And now the Holy of Holies is next. They're going to build the temple, three different levels of the prophecy there. But you see things start to get more and more earthquakes, more wars and rumors of wars, more of this. And he says, but Jesus clearly says in Matthew 24, that it's not yet.
Right.
Those are just the beginning of the birth pains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're seeing all these things, and they're the beginning of the birth pains. Now, when the birth pains come, are they Braxton Hicks? Well, we saw those for a while. We did see increases in things. We saw, like, 9/11. We saw Braxton Hicks. So the false contractions are coming. And you're like, oh, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Mm-hmm. And that's where we were. But that is right to be diligent, because what if it is?
Yeah.
Okay? But now, as they're getting more and more, we're seeing not just the contractions, but we're seeing all the different things. The sickness is coming, the headache's coming, I can't stay up at night.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is changing, and it's getting more rapid? It's getting quicker and quicker, and more in succession, and more a convergence of signs.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But you don't know, okay? You could go, and if you go to the hospital, you sit there. It might be in 10 minutes. It might be in 12 hours.
Right. Yeah. I've done that.
Okay.
Yeah,
but there. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing. And like, okay, we're here. When is this baby coming?
Yeah.
You know, when people try and they set dates all the time. Oh, the baby's going to be here at 3:10 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know that.
Yeah. We don't know. We're, yeah.
You don't know. You could tell it's close. Mm-hmm. You could tell the sign. Yeah, listen, I don't know what time, but we're not leaving.
Yeah. Mm. There's a lot of times I see something happen in the world, and my very first thought is, oh, wow, we are right up against it, aren't we? I mean, we're there. We're there, you know. I catch myself looking up, you know, okay, is this it?
Yeah. We are in the birthing room.
Yeah, without any doubt.
The water has broken.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so what do other Christian writings say? The early church fathers didn't comment much on Iran directly, but viewed Gog and Magog as end-time players. Mm-hmm. You got modern Christian prophecy experts, Hal Lindsey, there's Amir Tersfarte, Joel Rosenberg, all agree. Iran's involvement is prophetic and irreversible, and the current events in Iran are birth pangs, as you were talking about, and they're not random. This isn't randomness. I mean, this is, you know, the Bible wrote about this, God wrote about this for millennia, you know, and now we're watching it actually happen. And if you open the book and you read the book and you look at what's going on in current events, if you can't put the two together, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to be that blunt, but you know, you got to be a Neanderthal not to figure this out. It's really simple. You know?
Yeah, you have to be. The Bible calls you willingly ignorant.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, stupid on purpose. So you got to have your head in the sand to not see what's going on.
Right.
But surprisingly, people do. I think part of some of the recent events in world history have actually caused some of this blindness and brain deadness around there.
Probably, yeah. There's a lot of conspiracy theories that aren't conspiracy after all. You know, they're true.
One of my favorite memes is this old lady. It looks like she's from the 40s. She's got a teacup like this, and she says, "I'm going to need some more conspiracy theories. Mine have all come true."
Yeah, that's about true too. It really is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so. So when is the Gog and Magog war expected? Okay, you got three major views here among conservatives, and David, you can comment on this one for sure. You got view A, which is post-rapture, pre-trib, which is most common. The war happens after the rapture, but before the tribulation. It sets the stage for the Antichrist rise in Ezekiel 38:23. God is glorified among the nations. Israel is left vulnerable but survives, causing the world to look for a savior, which, of course, is the Antichrist. View B is early in the tribulation, occurs after the seven-year tribulation begins, fits with the need for a peace treaty, Daniel 9:27. God's miraculous defense of Israel is public and unmistakable, and I can't go along with view B there. View C is at the end of the millennium. In other words, this is the bungee jump group, based on Revelation 20:7-9, some interpret Gog and Magog as symbolic of a final rebellion after the thousand-year reign of Christ. Most scholars agree this is a separate later battle using the same symbolic names. Most credible conservative Christian scholars separate Ezekiel 38 and 39, premillennial, from Revelation 20, the post millennial rebellion. So which one of those do you go with, David? Mine is, I'm with you, A. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think I don't know if it's post rapture though. I think it might be a catalyst. So you're in that same ballpark, but remember, here's the scenario, okay? All these things are happening. It gets really, really, really bad on the earth. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lord comes, takes his people out. All of a sudden, you're going to fit everybody's narrative. Okay. Because if you got this World War III going on, you got the Muslim narrative of their Mahdi has come out, and they want to make things happen. They want to blow off as many nuclear bombs as they can. They think that's going to crack the earth open, and their Mahdi is going to come out riding a white horse, I might add. And he's gonna make changes and rules, and you got to listen to him as opposed to any other book ever written. So that fits that narrative, and then he's going to be that white horse. But there has to be this catalyst for it. Mm-hmm. If it's after the rapture, then well, why do we need this guy? So if it's before the rapture, okay, it happens. The rapture happens. Now all the people say everybody's missing. It's either the Mahdi's coming or the aliens came and took them, depending on what group you're in. And whatever it is, we all have to come together as one world against this evil thing.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'll be your leader, you know, and then there'll be the false prophet. Yeah, yeah, he's the leader. Mm-hmm. You follow him, and they'll be in cahoots together, and that would implement the 7-year peace treaty. And then for 3.5 of that, they're going to be relatively peaceful because that's what this guy claimed. But he did it on purpose to calm everything down so he could take the seat as the savior and try and look like the good guy. Well, so I think it's going to be like the catalyst for the rapture.
For the rapture, okay.
And then the rapture is going to be a catalyst for the 7-year peace treaty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to suggestions, but that's where I think it's going.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have an argument against you on that one. Mm-hmm. If the Gog and Magog war started, there would have to be a reason for it to start, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you look at Isaiah 17, but that's a really good reason for it to start. Isaiah 17, with the complete destruction of Damascus and being uninhabitable, and that gets blamed on Israel or whatever, you know, because everything gets blamed on Israel. So, you know, that would be one. And then the Gog-Magog war starting. But again, David's not calling the shot. I'm not either. The rapture could come at any time. It could happen right now, you know, or it could happen at any part, at any time in the series of leading up to the end of the world. It can happen any time. But I kind of go with you, David, that there's got to be some kind of a catalyst for this, you know. Otherwise, I can't just see somebody getting up one day and say, okay, let's go attack Israel. You know,
let's take over the world.
Yeah, I just can't see that happening. There's got to be a catalyst in there somewhere, but I don't know exactly.
And that is the MO of all these evil governments these days. There has to be some kind of chaos so they can implement their martial law. That's their MO.
Yeah.
Hey, if everything's fine, then, you know, what could we rule over? What kind of power do we have over them? No, everything's just fine. No, there's got to be some kind of chaos. That's what 9/11 was about. That's what these wars were all about. They have to keep something going in order to have an excuse to say, okay, I'll be in power.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the big one, is these wars and the rapture. Mm. Oh, we need a guy who's way up here in power.
Right. Okay, David, tell everybody how they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And
take
us out of this.
Just do it. Do it. You're going to want to do it. Here's the deal. The earth and all creation was made for Jesus. Go read it in your Bible. It says all creation was made for him. It's his place. It's his house. It's his eternity. It's his time-space matrix.
Amen.
All right? So if you say, well, I don't want to be with Jesus, he'll say, okay, great. He'll remove you from the time-space matrix.
Mm-hmm.
That means that's the lake of fire. That's hell. It's not a pretty picture, but it was your fault because you denied it.
Your choice.
All right? Now, if you want to be with him, he says, listen, I paid off all your debt so you can come and live with me. All you got to do is accept it. I would admonish you to accept his payment of your debt so you can go live with Jesus in his place for eternity. We'll see you next time.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.